بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to عقيدة التحاوية. This lesson we're going to be beginning with the قلم and the لوح محفوظ, the preserved tablet. So let me just get that in front of you بإذن الله تعالى. Okay, so وهو okay. Here. Number 16. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ وَالْقَلَمِ. So we believe in the preserved tablet and the qalam. So the translation here is the other way around. بِاللَّوْهِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ قَدْ رُقِمَ. And we believe in everything that has been inscribed. And just to follow on, number 61. فَلَوْ اِجْتَمَعَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ لِيَجْعَلُهُ غَيْرَ كَائِنٍ لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ وَلَوْ اِجْتَمَعُوا كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ أَنَّهُ غَيْرَ كَائِنٍ لِيَجْعَلَهُ كَائِنًا لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ جَفُّ الْقَلَمِ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. I'll add one more. وَمَا أَخْطَأَ الْعَبْدَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ وَمَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ. So we've done the translation of point number 60. Let's look at 61. Imam Tahawi says that if all of creation, all of them, were to come together upon something that Allah had decreed for you, and decreed would happen, they could not. In other words, if they were to try to remove something, prevent something from happening, or some decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from occurring, nobody can do anything that can change the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if they all came together to bring something, they gathered to do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed was not going to happen, then it would not happen. In other words, God's power, Allah's power reigns supreme. And then he says, the pen's work is done. What was, is, and what will be until the day of Qiyamah. In other words, Al-Qalamu bima huwa ka'in. Whatever Allah has written will happen ila yawmil Qiyamah. And then whatever misses you, in other words, whatever is not meant to be for you, whatever is not written in your future or in your life will not happen for you. And whatever afflicts you, whatever you go through, whatever reaches you, that has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will never miss you. If something is going to happen for you by the decree of Allah, it will happen by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's go back and talk about the lawh, this tablet, as mentioned here by Imam Tahawi. And of course, the tablet is referred to in the Quran by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in chapter 85, verse 21 to 22. And the pen itself is also mentioned in the Quran in Surah An-Noon, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Qalam, rather, where Allah says, Noon, wal-qalami wa ma yasturun. Noon, by the pen, and that which they write there with chapter 68, verse over there. So we have to believe in the qalam, and we have to believe in this inscribed upon tablet. And everything that's written in the inscribed tablet, Allah mentioned this in the Quran, chapter 36, verse number 12. And all the things we have taken account of in a clear book. Right? It's a preserved tablet. Every matter, small or big, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it on record. Chapter 54, verse 53. So it's also mentioned in the Quran, but of course you'll find a hadith that give you more flesh to the bones. It gives you more details about this. Ubadah ibn Sabit, may Allah be pleased with him, said that he said to his son when he was about to die, my dear son, you will not find a sweetness of faith until you know that whatever hits you was never meant to miss you, and whatever has missed you was never meant to hit you. Indeed, I have heard the Prophet ﷺ say, the first of Allah's creation was the pen, and he said to the pen, Allah said to the pen, write. It replied to Allah, my Lord, "What should I write?" Allah replied, "Write the destinies of all things until the day of Qiyamah, until the day of resurrection." So it's already been written for you what's going to happen for you. Umar ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, says or relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came out to us carrying two books in his hands. And he said, "Do you know what these books are?" We replied, "No, O Messenger of Allah, unless you tell us." He said, with the one in his right hand, "This is the book from the Lord of the worlds, wherein are the names of the inhabitants of paradise and the ancestors and their tribes." They were then summed up to the last. Thus did they never increase or decrease. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in one book. He then said about the one in his left hand, "This is the book from Allah of the worlds, Lord of the worlds, wherein are the names of the inhabitants of the hellfire and the names of their ancestors and their tribes." In other words, who's going to paradise and who's going to perish in the fire. The companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Then what's the point of performing good deeds? If things are already written for us, what's the point?" Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Seek the right course of action and be moderate, for the life of an inhabitant of paradise will be sealed with the works of the inhabitants of paradise." In other words, a moral lesson for us is that we should do virtuous actions. We should carry on performing actions and not get detracted or distracted from questions around who's going to go to the fire, who's going to go to paradise, but actually work to be from those people, to do the works of the people of Jannah, and to avoid the actions of those who incur Allah's wrath. So this is what we should be focused on. And the Prophet was very practical. This is beautiful because he didn't get into philosophical debates, but rather he made the point absolutely clear. Okay. So this is important. Yes. So seek the right course of action and be moderate, for the life of an inhabitant of paradise will be sealed with the works of the inhabitants of paradise. And if he previously did whatever works he did, and the life of an inhabitant of hellfire will be sealed with the works of the inhabitants of the hellfire, even if he previously did whatever works that he did. And then Rasulullah said with his hands, meaning he gestured and threw them, he then said, "Your Lord has finished with his servants a party in paradise and a party in the now." Okay, so this has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are details. Inshallah, maybe when we have time towards the end of this course, we'll go into it, because somebody rightly has asked me the question, "Can you explain free will and its place in Sunni doctrine?" So we'll get into the conversation around occasionalism. This is a conversation that we have, that how do you make the dance between you as a person having free will, but God maintaining his complete power. And inshallah, if you can remind me towards the end, we'll do a special session or we'll do something on it, inshallah ta'ala. So Imam Tahawi just mentioning this. And then he says, وَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَن يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى قَدْ سَبَقَ عِلْمُهُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ فَقَدَّرَ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرًا مُحْكَمًا مُبْرَمًا لَيْسَ فِيهِ نَاقِضٌ ولا معقب ولا مزيل ولا مغير ولا محول ولا ناقص ولا زائد من خلقه في سماواته وأرضه. Okay, so we should know, he says, that Allah's knowledge has preceded everything in his creation. He, by his will, preordained that precisely and definitively, such that no one among his creatures, whether in the heavens or in the earth, can annul, defer, erase, alter, shift, or detract from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eternal knowledge and eternal will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it affirms the divine decree and preordination of whatever is in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah has apportioned everything in his creation with his infinite wisdom, that Allah has made everything work according to his own wisdom. And what's going to be good, what's going to be ugly, what's good, what's evil, acts of obedience and disobedience, affluence and poverty and the like. And this phrase here, la mu'aqib, means that there is none to defer what Allah has decreed. Allah knows exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, to what extent it will happen. Okay? And so there's no one that can change the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll come across this in more detail, inshallah ta'ala, because people do ask this question that if God knows everything, then you know, how is it fair? That question is quite easy to answer. But something that's more interesting, I guess, is okay, so that's something to bear in mind, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. وَلَا يَكُونُ مُكَوِّنٌ إِلَّا بِتَكْوِينِهِ وَالتَّكْوِينُ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا حَسَنًا جَمِيلًا. So this is the next point. What is it in here for you? Okay. It's interesting, there's a point missing. In my book, I have... interesting. In this one, there's a different ordering to the one that I have in my book. Fascinating. So, okay. Anyway, how shall we do this? Shall we stick to this book or shall we stick to my notes? Interesting. Okay. Sorry, friends, I'm just trying to work out because in the translation you have here. Okay, anyway, in the book that I have, we have an extra passage where it says, وَلَا يَكُونُ مُكَوَّنٌ إِلَّا بِتَكْوِينِهِ وَالتَّكْوِينُ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا حَسَنًا جَمِيلًا. So for some reason, it seems very interesting here that something has been omitted, it seems, but we'll see, inshallah ta'ala. So this is for you, we're on 64. So a created thing only exists through Allah creating it, okay? Allah giving it existence. And Allah's creation can only be good and beautiful. Now, there are a couple of words in Arabic you'll come across when you read the Quran or when you read the Hadith about creation in terms of its relationship with creation. A good cup of coffee goes well. So there's the word taqween, which is creating. There's the word takhliq, which means khuluq, to produce, khalq. There's the word ijad, which means to bring something into existence. There's ihdath, which is originating. There's ikhtara, which is to begin, give something a beginning. These words have similar meanings. We don't need to go into details, but they do have some nuances between them. But the general meaning of all of these words, when we put them together, the meaning that they impart is that it's about bringing something forth that was non-existent, i.e. it was in concealment, from the concealment of non-existence. It was hidden from us, and Allah makes it manifest. When Allah manifests it, He gives it existence. And Imam Tahawi here, he uses the word takween because the early Muslims use this phraseology. So he's sticking to the phrase that the early Muslims use. Okay. And this takween is an eternal attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this bringing into being of Allah's essence. Okay. Like all of Allah's attributes, it's His creating of the universe, every particle of it at the moment of its coming into existence. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, originated the universe and originating. Allah was already the originator even before He created the universe. You remember last lesson, we talked about His attributes of Allah, His essence, His dhati essence. These are essence that are part of Allah, and Allah does not become the creator when He creates something or when He created the universe. He was already the creator even before He created something, okay? So therefore, this takween, this sifat of Allah of creating must be eternal. Because if you think about it, if it was originated, rationally speaking, if something is created, it would have required another creator, right? And that would have created a problem. But so this creating of Allah, this sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this essential attribute of Allah, was already with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So we can get into the details of it, but we won't need to right now. Then he says, and then he comes back to what you have here. فَهَذَا مِنْ أَقْدِ الْإِيمَانِ وَأُصُولُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَالْإِعْتِرَافِ بِوَحْدَانِيَّةِ وَالرُّبُوبِيَّتِهِ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. As you have that in front of you. So what we've said so far is from the binding nature of faith, the doctrine of faith, the foundations of knowledge, and the recognition of Allah's unity and divinity. It is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدْرًا مَقْدُورًا. And the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of Allah, is a decree determined. Okay? So everything that we said earlier about divine decree, preordination, all of this is from the certainty of faith, i.e. you have to believe in it. It might not make sense to you because you're not able to understand it, but we have to believe in it, okay? Because whoever does not acknowledge, for example, divine decree or preordination, and it's not in line with his wisdom, means that he's doubting Allah's eternal knowledge, right? And this causes a nuqs in your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as though you're saying, there's no wisdom behind all of this. It's all random, right? No, we believe that Allah has decreed everything. He knows exactly what's going to happen. It will happen exactly as he said it will happen. Nothing will change. And we must believe in it. And this is all part of Allah's divine wisdom, right? The fact that we're not able to understand it also points to the fact that as mere mortals, our intellect will not be able to grasp the wisdom behind all of this. Well, we believe that there is wisdom behind this. And Allah might bless you. There are certainly people in Islamic history, ulama, Sufis, mashayikh, mutakallimeen, who Allah blesses with an understanding of the wisdom of the Sharia. And there are books written on this as well. Yes. They will be doubting Allah's knowledge and willpower, right, to deny the Qadr. Yes. Okay. And it's also kind of like saying, you know, there's some impairment in the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And then he continues, فَوَيْلٌ. So this is like, we say in English, wail, woe betide. فَوَيْلٌ لِمَنْ صَارَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي الْقَدْرِ خَسِيمًا. Woe to whoever, here the word khasim is used. Khasim means someone who kind of argues. Or kind of, here Sheikh Hamza has used the word antagonistic, right? He's kind of like, he's not taking a position on it. He's almost like sitting on the fence about it. And he says, وَأَحْضَرَ لِلنَّظْرِ فِيهِ قَلْبًا سَقِيمًا. So who, what whoever who becomes an adversary of Allah's preordination and brings a diseased heart to explore it. In other words, you need a pure heart to explore it. In his illusion, he pursued a hidden secret in his exploration of the unseen. لَقَدْ إِلْتَمَسَ بِوَهْمِهِ فِي فَحْسِ الْغَيْبِ سِرًّا كَثِيمًا. Some things Allah has hidden from us. وَعَادَ بِمَا قَالَ فِيهِ أَفَّاكًا أَثِيمًا. And however, on account of what he said about it, he became a affak athim, a wicked forger of lies. In other words, be wary of getting into these things unnecessarily. Right, and when you study advanced books, they do go into advanced books of aqidah, inshallah ta'ala. One day we might study them of kalam, we do get into these things. Okay, so this statement essentially, if you like, my friends, is an explicit condemnation of whoever denies Allah's preordination. And Imam Tahawi has used some very strong words. He's used the word khasim, someone who is antagonistic, in other words, someone who wants to fight with Allah. Okay. Because these things are mentioned in the Quran decisively, and whoever denies something that's mentioned in the Quran decisively has in effect challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And if something is mentioned to you by Allah very clearly in the Quran and you question it, then it's almost like you're arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the ulama say this person becomes someone who's khasim. And his heart is diseased, as Imam Tahawi says, because he's a pure heart when it's presented with evidence, it accepts it. A sick heart questions things because it's not able to see things with the truth of Iman and light as well. And so his heart is diseased, and he's seeking out a secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed from his creation. For most people, they won't understand this, and neither do they need to. Having said that, the ulama do say that sometimes people might have questions. They might have doubts. They might have watched something on YouTube, or they might have read something, or they might just have come across this question, or they might have studied something at university, which causes them some sort of doubt. Khalas, in that point, then you should go to an alim, a scholar, a theologian, and try and seek an answer to that question for him to. Does that make sense? But these things are not to be discussed publicly because they would confuse people who don't have time, nor the knowledge, nor is it relevant to them. In every field, there are certain sciences or certain discussions that we don't discuss amongst the public, whether that's in medicine, science, economics, and so forth. And you leave that to the professionals, you leave that to the people who know what they're talking about, and you trust them. But that does not mean that there's something wrong with that knowledge, right? Just because we don't understand everything about medicine, for example, doesn't mean medicine is an invalid science. Just because we don't understand everything about economics, most of us don't understand how economics works, for example, or politics, or any other subject, we don't deny its importance. We don't deny it's a relevant subject. So in our religion, just because we don't understand something doesn't mean we completely reject it. But we know that there are experts in there. We trust in their judgment. So this is very, very important. Imam Tahawi at the end mentions this person to be a sinful liar and a fak. And a fak is a person who continuously lies, yeah? Or someone who is asim is someone who consistently sins, okay? Because he rejects what Allah has given to him as definitive proof. Okay, next thing, number 66, Imam Tahawi says, wal arshu wal kursi yuhakun. The arsh, this is an immense creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the kursi is people translate as chair. Here, a vast luminous creation in the presence of Arsh are both real. Some places they say the footstool, Allah knows best. Okay. The Arsh, some people say, is a seat which has like sort of a back to it. The Kursi is a seat which has no back. But of course, this doesn't apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has used this as a way of perhaps getting us to think about the power and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal arshu wal kursi yuhaqqun. And Allah mentions this in the Quran as well, in the Quran in particular. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Imam Tahawi goes further and he says, وَهُوَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى مُسْتَغْنٍ عَنِ الْعَرْشِ وَمَا دُونَهُ. So just in case you might think that Allah needs an arsh, he says Allah doesn't need an arsh on what's beneath it. مُحِيطٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَفَوْقَهُ. And he encompasses and transcends everything. So there's no idea that because Allah sits in arsh, some might think that he's not ever present. No, Allah is everywhere. Okay. And then he says, وَقَدْ أَعْجَزَ عَنِ الْإِحَاتِ خَلْقَهُ. That makhluk, us, we are incapable of encompassing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And Allah mentions this. The reason we have to believe in this is because Allah mentions it in the Quran. Allah mentions in chapter 2, verse 255, His arsh encompasses the heavens and the earth. He's the Lord of the great throne. Okay. And then people get into discussion around, you know, what does this mean? So some people say that this footstool is like a metaphor for his knowledge. Others say that the throne is different from the footstool. And Allah also talks about how the angels carry this. So in chapter 40, verse number 7, those who bear the throne and all those who are around it. Okay. But the best position is what the Maturidi ulama generally take, is that it's not necessary to engage in the interpretation of these things. The Quran and Sunnah have affirmed it. It doesn't have any practical implication for us. Nothing to do with fiqh, right? It's not going to make a difference to your practice of Islam. But Allah mentioned it in the Quran. That's all you need to know. You don't really need to know the details about it and so forth, so on. Okay. So it's believing this establishment and reality of what is intended by Allah. Whatever Allah intends by it, we believe in it. Okay. And Imam Tahawi here also, because he's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of the throne and what's beneath it, this is just to negate the misconception some people might have of Allah needing to settle on some sort of throne or some sort of spatiality or some sort of direction. Somebody might think that, well, if he sits on a throne, he's not always here. Or if he sits on a throne, he must be facing a direction, or he must be filling some sort of space. So Imam Tahawi is saying, no, he doesn't mean any of those things when you read this from Imam Tahawi. وَنَقُولُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And then he continues, وَنَقُولُ, so moving on to a slightly related but different topic, وَنَقُولُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام as a friend. We believe in this. وَكَلَّمَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah befriended and spoke to Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. He had conversations with him. إِيمَانًا وَتَصْدِيقًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. So we have faith in this. We have conviction in this, and we submit to this. Okay. Again, this comes from the Quran. So Aqidah is all about the strongest form of evidence. And the Quran mentions these things. Allah says that He took Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as a friend. Allah mentions that He took Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as someone that He spoke with. So we believe in all of this. Next one is the angelic realm. Inshallah, one day I hope to write something on angelic ontology, how angels work. But for now, let's look at the angels. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالْكُتُبِ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ. We believe in the angels, we believe in the prophets, and the books that were revealed to the messengers at that time, the books that were given to them. And we bear witness that they are all those who adhered to the truth. Allah mentions this in the Quran. It's a long passage in chapter 2, verse 285 in the Quran. And we believe in the angels as a spiritual creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are living entities, and they ascend and they descend to the heavens by Allah's permission. And they revel in Allah's remembrance. They find pleasure in worshipping Him and knowing Him. And لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They don't disobey Allah in what He commands them, but do what Allah has commanded of them. This is mentioned in the Quran as well. Okay. As for the belief in the prophets, my friends, that Allah chose them to convey His message and honored them with carrying the message between Him and His slaves. And so this is a gift that Allah granted to humankind by sending prophets. And Allah chooses, Allah knows best with whom He places His risalah. Allahu a'lam, was it in chapter 6, verse 124? Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Okay, of course, we believe that the prophets are protected from sin, they are superior to angels, and some of them are superior to others. So, there's different ranks amongst even the prophets. Okay, so the angels and the prophets are mentioned together because there's always a relationship between prophethood and angels bringing revelation to them, i.e. we receive revelation through the medium of the angels. Okay, so Allah mentions this in the Quran as well. And of course, as for the belief in the books, that they are a direct revelation from Allah, Allah mentions them in the Quran. Either Allah revealed to them directly from Him without a modality, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel down with revelation which conveyed it to them. Okay? And no prophet, no angel alters the meaning of revelation. Okay? And we all believe that all the prophets adhere to the clear truth, manifested, for example, in splendid miracles and compelling proofs as well. Now we move on to Aqidah, but they seem to be more social in nature as well. Okay? So listen to this. وَنُسَمِّيَ أَهْلَ كِبْلَتَنَا مُسْلِمِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ. This is number 71. We refer to the people of our Qibla, who face our Qibla, as Muslims and believers. مَا دَامُوا بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Mu'tarifin, as long as they recognize what the prophets have come with. They acknowledge it, they confirm it, and they don't deny, right? They don't deny any of these things. This is important to remember, that even if people they believe in it, but they don't fulfill it. For example, in our religion, prayer is an obligation. Now, you might have someone who doesn't pray. That does not make them a non-Muslim. Yes, they might be sinful, they'll be fasiq, but it will not make them a non-Muslim because they believe in it and they haven't rejected it. Right? It's a moral failing on their part, but we don't preclude them. We don't remove them from the religion of Islam. This is very, very important. So that's something between them and Allah. But because they haven't rejected the faith and they believe in these things, even though they're not practicing upon it, then they are still part of the ummah. Okay. Mu'tarifin walahu bikulli ma qala ma qala wa akhbara musaddiqin. Okay. And so if they acknowledge the Sharia and what was revealed or conveyed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believe in Allah and they commit themselves to the Sharia, we call them believers and we apply the rulings over them as such. Okay. And importantly as well, my friends, that we are only accountable or we only judge by what we see. So we don't go into that. We don't go into people's hearts, right? We don't question their motives. That is why Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said, I was sent with the responsibility of judging people according to what is evident, while Allah is responsible for judging them according to their innermost selves. Okay? So this is important. This is what makes you a believer. But if people don't fulfill these obligations, they don't leave Islam. They're sinful. They might be a fasiq, mubtadi, but they don't leave the religion of Islam. All right. So this is a very important. I mean, it's come here, but it's really, really, really important. Now, then he makes this important point. وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We don't engage in speculative discussions about Allah. So whatever Allah has not mentioned to us about Him, we don't engage in those things. Because it's the adab, it's a being with Allah, it's a respect of Allah that you only engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about Him as to what He has told you. Anything He has not told you about, you don't need to spend your time with that. Because Allah only tells you what you need to know. وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And we don't dispute about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, when we talk about Allah, it has to be based on the Quran and what's mentioned in the Sunnah. Okay? And when it comes to these really, really important matters like Allah, we stick to revelation. We don't get into contemplation or speculation about Allah's essence. Because Allah is beyond us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we call Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's ta'al, He's far above anything that we can fathom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And we don't dispute about the religion. So whenever we have Muslims who are practicing, we don't, you know, cast aspersions upon them. Okay? Trying to throw them into doubt, trying to remove them from the faith of Islam. Okay? And so Rasulullah has told us in many places that, you know, you don't get into fights for the sake of it. One hadith of Rasulullah says that whoever stays away from arguing, even when he knows he's wrong, and when he's wrong, Allah grants him a house on the outskirts of paradise. And when he's correct, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gives him a house in the center of paradise. Okay? And whoever improves his character, he's given a house in the uppermost part of paradise. So in other words, don't get involved in things that you don't need to. Don't argue with people unnecessarily unless you need to. And make sure that you always maintain the highest level of quality of character. Okay? So this is what the Prophet has warned us about. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an narrated the Prophet once came out and we were arguing with one another about destiny. The Prophet became very, very angry that his face turned red. And he said, "Have you been ordered to do this? Or have I been sent to you for this?" People before you came, and they were ruined by frequently arguing with another about religious affairs, and they're differing with their prophets. don't argue on it. Don't get involved in these things. Because most people don't have the spiritual sincerity in debating and arguing. They are motivated by other motives which color their sense of sidq, which color their sense of truthfulness. Okay? So that's important to protect ourselves from. May Allah protect us from getting involved in these things. Next one's about the Quran. We'll pause here, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll take it from there, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you for being very accommodating. Unfortunately, on Friday, I can't teach you this week. I'm traveling. So thank you for being very, very accommodating. I appreciate your vigilance and giving me that time. So there won't be a lesson on Friday. And then inshallah, next Friday, we can resume. Bismillah ta'ala. You can always reach out to me. You've got my email address and my contact details. I'm more than happy to engage with you. Remember, I'm not getting into deep conversations here about theology because this is a text that's just about Aqidah, what binds us to our faith. Maybe if we have time at the end, or maybe if we deliver more advanced course, we can talk about these things, inshallah ta'ala. Just see if there's any questions, and then we'll end there, inshallah. Okay, if there's no questions, Salah, I'll see you all soon. Have a good week. Allah bless you and preserve you. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.